Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
It's your excellent adventure. Dory, how are you this week?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, you know, I bet everyone wrote in about it. Good news. Everything's A-okay in Butt Town.
You know, very few people wrote in about it.
Shocking.
In fact, I believe we only got one text that even like referred to it.
Well, there you go.
We also got like relatively few emails this week, which I attribute to our conversation last week.
Well, that very well may be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, new week, new you. Everybody start fresh.
I mean, we should probably catch people up on what's been going on with us this week, which is Henry, and let me preface this by saying that he is fine. But we had a little incident with him yesterday. We were at the playground. He was climbing up this like sort of mountain thing.
I mean, it was your.
How would you describe it?
I would say it was a faux rock sculpture. It was like a rock climbing wall made
but not
of plastic,
with the...
but not with like little. You know, yeah. Foothold.
Just had little like indentations.
Yes. Which I watched one kid go up and I was like, ooh, that seems a little dangerous.
Like, and then
I thought he was going to fall. That kid like was right at the top and I thought he was going to fall and he didn't.
And then, of course, Henry wanted to go on it. And just as he started climbing up it, Matt turned to me and said, go eavesdrop on those people.
I really wanted to know what was going down over in the park, you know, with some other people. I was like, go listen over there.
And I was like, okay. So I start walking away. I'd taken no more than 3 steps, I would say, when I hear blood-curdling screams.
So you didn't hear the thud, huh?
I mean, I don't remember the thud. It's all kind of a blur to me.
Henry was, I'm going to conservatively say he was 9.5 inches off the ground.
Yeah, he had not gotten very high.
No. So I saw him start to fall and I tried to catch him. And I did not catch him. I mean, not fully. And his little face went right onto that little plastic rock wall thing. When I picked him up, I was like, this kid is going to be fucking wrecked. Because that felt like it. When I was catching him, I caught his body and I just felt his head go.
And blood was just gushing out of his mouth.
I wouldn't call it gushing. Because when I first gave him the once over eyeball look, when I picked him up, I saw no blood whatsoever. And I was shocked.
As
soon as he wanted to, immediately he wanted Dory's comfort, the comfort of a mother who doesn't want it. Then I saw a little blood and I was like, oh, he must have cut his lip.
Yeah. And he was like bleeding all over me. He cried and I was comforting him and then he kind of calmed down and was like wanting to get back on the climbing structure.
He was upset for 3 minutes.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And the blood kind of seemed to stop.
It did. It just was like gone at some point.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, all right.
And I couldn't quite figure out like, was it his lip, like interior lip situation?
And then Matt said to me, I think one of his teeth is loose. And I was like, oh, great. That's all we need for him to like have a loose tooth.
Because my brain was trying to like make logic of the situation,
mm-hmm.
and because I couldn't see any actual
cut
on his, yeah. I was just like, there's gotta be there has to be a problem.
So I'm with him on the climbing structure because he asked me to come on with him, and given that he had just fallen, I was like, okay. And after a few minutes, he like opened his mouth and I saw he did not have a loose tooth. He was missing a tooth.
His front.
A tooth was fully gone.
His front left incisor. So
is no more.
is TBD. I mean, I looked on the ground at the park in Glendale, couldn't find it.
Haven't spotted it in his poop, but I haven't. I haven't looked super hard, but
so his teeth were missing. His tooth was missing. His tooth is missing. I mean, if you find it, let us know. I felt really bad about it because I feel like it was my fault.
I mean, I don't think it was anyone's fault.
No, I feel like I could have been quicker on the save and actually saved him. I also suggested we go to this park. So then I feel like that's an added layer of my fault. Yes, he was on a structure for 3 to 5 year olds, clearly labeled. I felt like such a genuine failure of as a parent.
I still feel it
because now it's just gonna. I'm gonna have to acknowledge this every time he opens his mouth and is missing a tooth. Of the time I didn't catch him from his 9-inch fall off the rock, fake rocks.
He was a little out of sorts yesterday. Didn't really nap. Woke up like hysterically crying.
Dory was immediately like, "We're gonna have to get him an implant." And I was like, "What? It's a baby tooth. There's no implants for baby teeth. They're still growing. How could they there possibly be such a thing? It's silly." And then I went and I was like reading and I was like, oh, something called a pediatric partial. And then the more I thought about my guilt, the more I was like, we need to get a fake tooth.
And then I was like, I don't want to do it because I did some more Googling and like pretty much the entire internet was like, don't do this.
Well, I mean, it has to only exist for child beauty pageants.
I mean, maybe.
The idea of the pediatric partial.
Well, I think when they're a little older, sometimes they can make like kind of like a denture, essentially, that they can take out, like a flipper, which they do use in beauty pageants.
Right.
But he's too young for that. Like he can't have something removable. So the thing that you can get is something that gets like wired to the rest of their teeth. And I just was like, this is going to be hard to clean.
The one I read was like a band. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not super my inclined to do it.
My whole thing is like, there's part of it that's like, oh, this is my fault. That's a huge part of it. The other part of it is like, now Henry's going to have this hole in his face. And he'll probably develop an adorable lisp because of it. And it's all my fault.
I think he'd be more likely to develop a lisp if both of his front teeth had been knocked out. But so far, I've not noticed any difference in his speech.
No, there has not been any. And also, I really hope they're all like, the rest of them are solid.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean?
I talked to his dentist on Saturday. I called the emergency line. His dentist picked up right away.
Well, first she called, and then I was like,
Do we need to call the emergency line?
And I was like, no, not an emergency. It's a baby tooth, and he's fine, not bleeding, and
but then when he woke up from his nap, like really upset and saying that his mouth hurt, I was like, okay, I'm going to call the dentist
I smartly was like, should give him some Motrin before bed, which obviously didn't help. But when the dentist said to do that, I was like, aha.
Wait, we didn't give him Motrin before bed.
I did.
No, before nighttime bed we did. Before his nap, we didn't give him Motrin.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't think you did.
I did.
Before his nap? No, when he woke up from his nap.
I swear.
You gave him Motrin because you asked if we should give him.
No, children's Tylenol I gave him.
Okay, whatever. Children's Tylenol, Motrin.
Yes.
We gave it to him after he woke up from his nap. He came out of the playroom so you could give him the medicine.
That was after?
Yes, that was after.
I thought that was before.
It was a very short nap. That's why it was confusing.
Yeah, I was in my office and Dory texted me, I need you to come into the house. And I looked at it and I was like, is this an old message? And then I was like, 1:30, like it was like 1:31 p.m. And I was like, what is happening? I went in and I was like, no, Dory. Oh my God, the door to the playroom's open. What is he doing? He's awake. And he didn't want Dita at all.
Until you said I have medicine. Until
I provided some sweet, sweet red medicine.
And that was when I called the dentist, and the dentist said it's just like a trauma response.
He really seemed to like, Henry was playing it up in the background too.
Yeah.
Like he just happened to start screaming.
Yeah, he did. And you can continue to give him like Motrin and Tylenol today, but he should be fine tomorrow. So far he is. We put him down. He usually goes to bed at 7. We put him down for the night at 6. He went right to sleep.
Yeah.
And he slept till almost 7. So he got like a really good sleep last night, woke up, seemed to be in great spirits, has been in a good mood all day. And yeah, a couple times yesterday when he asked me to tell him about his day and we got to the park, the part about the park, he pointed to his tooth and I was like, yeah.
He pointed to where his tooth used to be.
Yeah, he was like, your tooth came out and it hurt a lot. And he was like, and he like kind of nodded.
I mean, it's just wild. Like this also is, he was upset for like 3 minutes and then he was like, just, I'm back. I want to go run on this structure and go down a slide. And then earlier in the week too, he had been in the pool. That was this week, right? Where he puked.
Oh yeah. That was Monday.
Yeah. He puked during a swim lesson. And, Dory, right, like brought him in and he like took off his puke filled did you get puke on you on that one?
Mm-hmm, yep.
See, did you lose that shirt as well?
No. Threw it in the washing machine.
Dory said goodbye to a sweatshirt yesterday.
Yeah. That was covered in blood. I was like, you know what? This isn't gonna come out.
Yeah. but yeah, he like puked apparently in the pool. And
he had swallowed some water and he threw up.
I was inside. I came inside when I heard, I don't remember how, but anyway, we like got him all dried off and everything. And he was like, want to go in the pool. He's like, what are you guys doing?
To go right back in the pool. And we were like, you know what? We're going to just chill on the pool today.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, if anything, he's very,
he's resilient.
Resilient for sure. And also just, you know, DGAF, you know?
Well, I was kind of spiraling about the fact that he was missing a tooth and like will not have a grown up tooth for at least like 4 years.
Dory spiraling, and I was immediately like I was like, relax, he's a kid, it's fine. And then after she asked the internet what to do, then I started spiraling about it. So I'm still spiraling about it. Dory seems to have accepted it in a way that I have not.
I posted on Twitter just like asking if this had happened to anyone else. And like like a bunch of people responded, many of whom's kids had knocked out both the front teeth at like age 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you just learn to live with it. And it becomes like they have a cute smile for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, he looks, you know. He looks like a little hockey player.
Well, between that and his bloody ear.
His bloody ear and face.
Yes.
Because he's got like this little, I don't know what it was. Some sort of like, I don't know. I would describe it as looks like it was like a pimple that got, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's what it looks like.
I think he just scratched it.
Yes. Like this little tiny face part under his,
eye.
What do you call this?
I feel like a cheek?
No, but I feel like in the beauty world, this has a name. I feel like it does. I feel like that's a different, because you'd put like a, you know, you'd put color on your cheeks, mm-hmm. right? But like there's this area here below the eye, like it's in no man's land.
That's kind of where people often apply like highlighter.
Yeah, but what would you call that? I guess you'd just call it the upper cheek.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if there's anybody's a beautician out there who wants to let me know what that part is called. Unless it's called upper cheek, then thank you.
I also, when I got him this morning, he was upset because the blood from his ear was on his sheet.
Oh, he wants a new sheet.
Yeah, and I changed his sheet.
And I forgot to do that.
I changed it.
Okay.
He has a bloody ear because often when he's sucking his thumb, he plays with his ear with the other hand. Mm-hmm. And he like rubbed it so much that it started bleeding. And it's just like a really hard place to keep a Band-Aid on. You know what, though? I did watch a TikTok from a dermatologist who was talking about wound care. Mm-hmm. And he said that it is the biggest mistake that people make is they think that they need to put hydrogen peroxide and Neosporin on cuts and wounds. And you should actually just put like Vaseline or Aquaphor.
Okay.
So he was basically like, throw out all your Neosporin. Neosporin is a scam.
Later, Neosporin.
Yeah.
This is what a TikToker was saying. We're not saying that.
A dermatologist.
This is what a dermatologist. Okay, so?
So?
I'm just saying.
Just because
Neosporin wants to come at us with some sort of lawsuit.
Okay.
We do not condone the views of any TikTok dermatologists.
Look, I'm just saying what he said.
That's all?
Yeah.
Just reporting.
Just reporting. Allegedly,
Thank
Neosporin.
You. Thank you, Dory.
Is not great for
Welcome
wounds.
To podcasting. Jeez Louise.
So I don't know, I'm putting some Aquaphor on it. He's just a little rapscallion.
He's something. He's got a haircut now. When there was like a day and a half where he looked like just a picture perfect child. And then somehow this face thing came back. Missing a tooth. It's puking all over swim instructors.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that said, feel free to email us, dorymatt@gmail.com, mattanddory@gmail.com, phone number 413-461-BABY. You can leave a voicemail there. You can check out our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/eggslandadventure. If you're going through fertility struggles, etc., it's a good resource for you to have while we're in between episodes. AKA the 6 days between episodes. And if you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/excellentadventure and get extra episodes. We'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat wicking, blister preventing, friction-free movement. Seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look,
nice.
I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or for Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas is 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Okay, we're back.
Hello.
No new injuries to report for Henry.
So far, so good. All right. This first email, it wasn't clear to me whether this person wanted to be anonymous, so I'm keeping them anonymous just to be safe.
Sure.
They wrote, sending out the egg signal for toddler sleep. Help, please. I have a 28-month-old sleep training graduate. He's been a great sleeper, sleep trained since 9 months old. At the end of August, we went on a vacation where he wouldn't fall asleep without us in the room, so we stayed next to the pack and play until he fell asleep 2 evenings. His request continued at home when just a week later we attempted and failed at potty training. It's been a sleep disaster ever since. He's begun not wanting to fall asleep without us in the room, middle of the night waking and waking at 5 a.m. screaming. Oh, and throwing his lovey out of the crib. This has all been going on for 3+ weeks. Recently, he's been dealing with allergy-related symptoms, which hasn't helped our quest. We tried to ride the wave, thinking he needed extra support with the life changes, but over the last 3 days, we've basically gone back to the original sleep training plan because safe in your crib sleep is truly best for him and us. The crying is a lot harder on your heart with a 2-year-old.
Sure.
I feel much more like I am harming him emotionally. It seems to be getting back on track, but then we have a middle of the night waking. Just wondering if anyone has experienced this and has any thoughts or tips. Do I need to take a toddler sleep class or just stick it out a few more days? Did I emotionally break him by trying to potty train and helping him fall asleep when I thought he was going through some potty training anxiety? Thanks for reading and hopefully sharing. I'm hoping someone will have some thoughts. My personal circle of friends all co-sleep, so they're no help.
Ugh. We have the worst friends.
Matt.
Sorry.
One tired mama living in Texas with her husband and 28-month-old in 1,100 square feet. I think I ate one hot dog in 2021.
Congrats on your hot dog count. Only 37 minutes off your life this year.
Well, first of all, you did not emotionally break him. So,
and as far as I know, your kid has all their teeth.
That's true. So they're ahead of our kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, I don't know, I'd be curious to hear what other people have to say about this.
Vacationing with a toddler is tough.
Yeah.
Especially in a time zone shift. It is something that Dorian Arrow is very careful about regarding his sleep. And in the one... to 2 occasions we've had him in a hotel room, we still like put the pack and play in a bathroom.
When do we put a pack and play in the bathroom?
Las Vegas.
No, we didn't.
Yes, it was in the bathroom, wasn't it?
No.
Where was it?
The crib was in the corner of the room.
Why did I think it was in the bathroom?
I don't know. But
why do I remember him having a pack and play in a bathroom?
I don't know.
It's so weird because you saying that reminds me. Yes, that's correct.
You know where I think Karen and Steve have put a pack and play in a bathroom. So maybe that's where you have got it from.
Was it there? Was it when we went to Disney?
Maybe.
Land.
Maybe.
Nope. We had him in the living room.
Oh, with him? Yeah, no, we had him in the living room. I thought you were talking about they might have had
maybe okay
someone
I don't
in
know.
The bathroom.
Anyway, whatever.
Yes, vacations are stressful, and I always worry that we're going to do something on vacation that he's then going to be like, okay, I guess this is how we do it now. So we try to keep it as similar,
home like as possible.
But I hear you; it's really hard. Especially when they're in a new environment and they are freaked out. I preface this by saying I'm not a trained sleep consultant, so take this with a grain of salt and I'd be curious to hear what other people think.
TikTok, so.
Right. I don't play one on TikTok either. I would do some like modified, I would do some sleep, I would essentially just re-sleep train him, like it sounds like you're doing. And, you know, do the check-ins, do like a, you know, a kind of a Ferber thing. It is harder when they cry when they're two, but you're not permanently damaging him.
Yeah.
So.
And also like, explain as much as you can.
Yeah.
To the kid.
Yeah.
As far as yes, why, that's what a is really happening good point. And why it's happening.
That's a really good point.
And just like let them know, like, look, here's what's happening. You're gonna sleep. You sleep in your room, and Mama and Dita sleep in. Don't call yourself Dita if you're not a Dita. Sleep in their room, and we want to make sure you get the best sleep possible. So you need to be sleeping in your crib. Blah blah blah.
Yep.
So just like always, you know, with Henry, even I try to really lay out what I can in a logical fashion, which, you know, sometimes helps, sometimes doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially when he's like, the other day he was like yelling about something. I'm trying to remember what it was. But he was like, I picked him up and I was like, Henry. And he screamed and I said, Henry. He screamed again. And I said, Bud, look at me. Tell me what you want without yelling. And he said, inside. I said, great. That means you want to go inside, right? Yeah. I was like, okay, count to three. And then I put him down. And then we just walked inside. But it was like, you know, it was the kind of thing where I was like, I knew he wanted to go inside from the screaming. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't want him to learn. And I don't want him to learn. And this is something I'm going to still have to be very careful about. I don't want him to learn that screaming in a high-pitched pterodactyl fashion gets him what he wants. So, anyway. So, like, if he is screaming about something, I do try to get him to just tell me calmly what it is he wants. Because I'm usually going to let him do it anyway. Because it's usually just going outside or, you know, if he can do it, we can do it. But I just want him to talk about it. Don't scream. That scream, that kid scream.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I also do try to sometimes, you know, they don't have a ton of great impulse control right now.
Of course not. But so he can do it. Like, that's the thing about him is he's like, he gets it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he gets it anyway. Maybe he and I are just on a completely different wavelength where he understands. We understand each other.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he prefers you, but we understand each other.
Cool. All right.
I mean, you know how excited he was today when I showed him? Did you know that I got him numbers to finally put on the missing
numbers? Yes, you showed them. I was with him when you showed them to him when we got home.
He got to put them on himself.
Oh.
So they're a little wonky.
Okay.
But he was very into the, he was like, he just kept going, seven. But like it just walking by each barrel, seven.
Well, because seven. Only one of them didn't have the numbers, which was very upsetting to him.
Yes. So I finally got that for him. And I also got a large pole for the skimmer. And that's why there's, I don't know if you noticed outside.
I did notice.
There's 800 golf balls.
Yes, I did notice that.
Because Dita is now able to get them out and we can just keep going.
I mean,
he's way into it.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new, you know, if I got to occupy him for a little while.
Yeah.
We're just going to.
You're going to vibe.
Point at numbers.
Yeah.
And then Dita hit golf ball in pool. Anyway.
Is this what you thought fatherhood would be?
I mean. Yeah. Yes and no. The repetitiveness of it until like it's also fascinating to me like when he decides he's tired of something.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what I don't know what switch that is. Mm-hmm. I kind of have it too. So it's like I don't know. Whatever. It's interesting. Anyway.
Anyway.
That's your answer to your sleep question.
All right. All right. This next email is from Allison.
Yes.
We decided to try to start having a child when we found out I had endometriosis when I turned 30. It was happenstance that we found this out due to an endometrioma bursting and sending me to the ER in screaming pain, previously no symptoms to alert me that I had stage 4 endometriosis. After 6 months of trying, we were able to get into the fertility clinic here in Canada, and we were told IVF was our only option based on the surgical report from my laparoscopic endometrial surgery. On our second fresh retrieval, they ended up bursting an endometrioma, which then had to be drained, about a cup of liquid, and luckily we got pregnant. Unfortunately, at 22 weeks, we ended up having to terminate as the baby was diagnosed with severe HLHS, hypoplastic left heart syndrome, with no hopes of reconstructive surgery upon birth. No judgment, please, as this was obviously devastating and horrible. Oh, no judgment
none.
From
none.
This the corner.
That was just sympathy. That was a sympathy groan.
We headed right back into more treatments and did another laparoscopic surgery to remove the endometriosis. After yet another fresh retrieval, I finally fell pregnant with our daughter, who is now 2 years-ish. During the emergency C-section, a whole other adventure. I bled quite a bit, but everything turned out fine. Around her first birthday, we were discussing trying for a sibling and went in for an FET. Shockingly, I became pregnant and miscarried at about 11 weeks. We found out that baby had Turner syndrome, which obviously was unrelated to the HLHS baby.
Wow.
Wait, just lost my place. This has all been extremely traumatic and horrible, but I do find solace in my daughter. We have now reached the point where you guys were discussing putting in your last embryo and how far you should push to try to get a sibling for Henry. We decided that I would do one last fresh transfer, despite them being beyond painful for me due to the endometriosis. And at our clinic, we are not anesthetized for the procedure. Yikes. Mm. This is where we have currently landed, and I need to finally send out a signal. I started bleeding heavily on day 5 after our embryo transfer, day 5 blast. It has now been 6 days of the heaviest bleeding I've ever had. The clinic finally got us back in for an ultrasound, and shockingly, apparently, I'm not bleeding from my uterus. Has anyone ever heard of this and still being pregnant? Has anyone ever had significant bleeding and found out the cause? Just wanting some clarity. Also, just to expand, after everything we have been through, what would be your advice moving forward? We still have 3 embryos that we could transfer. I'm theoretically young-ish, 36. Husband is 38. We really do want a sibling for our daughter, but 5 fresh cycles. And I believe 4 FETs. I'm tiring of all the complications and 1% chances. Any thoughts and advice? Greatly appreciated. Your show has been probably the only consistent podcast I've ever listened to, and greatly appreciate your candor during these difficult years we've all experienced. We live in Calgary, Canada, have 1 cat, 1 science baby, and 2,200 square feet. Less hot dogs than I would have thought. Thank you so much for taking the time. And then unfortunately, we did get an update from Allison, where she said, quick follow-up. Ended up having to go to the hospital as advised by the fertility clinic and have now tested negative for pregnancy and positive for a blood clot.
Ugh.
Fun. So more advice for moving forward and how you would personally approach our situation would be greatly appreciated. Wishing you all the best. Ugh. Well, first of all, I'm sorry about this most recent situation and everything that you've been through. It really sounds very emotionally and physically draining.
I mean, I'm struggling to even wrap my head around it. I don't know how you would do another transfer if I were you.
I mean, what I would probably do at this point is I would see if there was anyone in my life who was willing to be a surrogate. I don't know if these embryos are PGS tested. It sounds like they're not. And I'm not sure if a surrogate will do
well.
Surrogacy with non-tested embryos. But I mean, I think that might have to be a conversation that you start having, right?
Well, I mean, this the baby that had Turner syndrome. That was a spontaneous pregnancy. If I'm interpreting that correctly.
No, I went in for an FET. Shockingly, I became pregnant.
Oh, shockingly, I became pregnant. In my brain, that was like, shockingly, I was pregnant.
Oh, I thought she meant she became pregnant from the FET.
You were correct. That said, yes, to Dory's point, that doesn't they do not sound like they're genetically tested. So that is
if you have the stamina for this, you could do one more retrieval, get them genetically tested.
There's also the three embryos they currently have.
I know, but she's already, this is now her third FET with these untested embryos that have resulted in either miscarriage.
Oh, well, I'm just talking about getting those three tested.
Oh, getting them tested? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's so risky though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, that's what signal? What should we call this?
This is the endometriosis.
Complicated embryo signal.
Yeah. And look, I am under no illusions about the difficulties of surrogacy. Like, I don't make that suggestion lightly or as though you can just like
snap one into existence.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I fully understand that there are many complications, financial, like there's a lot of issues around finding a surrogate. So I don't want you to think that I just am sort of glibly being like, just get a surrogate. But it sounds like that might be something you might want to at least like explore.
Yeah.
So that would just be my advice. All right. We are going to take a short break.
Be right back. We'll
be right back.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We're back. All right.
Matt, do you want to take this next email?
Sure, it's from Colleen. She writes, hi, Matt and Dory. Long time. Sorry. Let me just double up on that long. I'm a long, long time listener, first time emailer. Currently 37. My wife is 40. Started listening in 2017 when we were trying to get pregnant with my now 3-year-old. 4 failed IUIs. 1 successful IVF later, I was lucky enough to be pregnant and stay pregnant. Trying for a second hasn't been so easy. We did 3 rounds of IVF, resulting in 2 negatives and 1 chemical pregnancy. Then we switched to donor egg. First transfer was another chemical. I'm currently in the 2-week wait for a second transfer with a PGS normal embryo. Broke down and tested what is that? Can you interpret that for me?
Broke down and tested at, wait, I lost
7
my place
days
here.
Past 5-day transfer? I mean,
oh yes, 7 days. Yes, that's exactly what it is. 7 days past 5-day transfer.
What? What does that mean?
It means you transferred an embryo that was frozen at day 5.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
And it's 7 days after the transfer.
I would flip that. Okay. If I were like in the forums. Mm-hmm, I'm sure this is like a format everyone uses. I'd flip it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Okay.
Can't decide whether the test is negative or barely positive. But it just makes me think I'm having another chemical pregnancy if I'm pregnant at all. And that all signs are pointing toward me being the problem, even when using better, younger eggs. Maybe I'll be wrong. This time will be our time. But if I'm right, how do you know when it's time to give up? This is a thematic episode.
Yeah, I know.
How do you know it's time to give up? Are there people out there who have decided not to try anymore and would be open to sharing how they came to that decision? My wife and I have been waffling about giving up for the last 6 months. It's hard to give up. There won't be any accidental or miracle pregnancies for us since we can't naturally conceive. So when we call it quits, that's it. Thanks to anyone willing to share. Colleen, 2,000 square feet, one toddler, one wife, one dog. How many hot dogs? More than I care to admit, especially since Matt shared with us how much of our lives we lose every time we eat one. Yikes. Okay. Dory.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at with this?
Well, what I first want to say is I need an update from Colleen about what happened when she finally took the HCG test, because all we have right now is a home test that is an inconclusive home test at 7 days, which is still pretty early. So we could be responding to this and Colleen is actually pregnant.
Very true.
You
very
know?
True. I just, again, would like to caution everybody about those home tests. I find them infuriating.
Matt is not a fan.
I'm not a fan because it's like, go see a doctor. Their tests are better. It's like you're peeing on a stick there.
So, okay. Let's for the sake of argument, let's assume that you are not pregnant. I mean, we don't know. You say all signs are pointing to me being the problem, but you were able to get pregnant before. So
I think some signs are maybe pointing to you trying to place blame on something and only finding yourself as the common denominator.
Ooh.
And thusly, you're blaming yourself. Which, I mean, look, I get it. I understand. I still blame myself for Henry's tooth, which was in his mouth until yesterday morning. But I think it's important to not be too hard on yourself about this particular situation.
I think that's very good advice.
Because it's like, I mean, look, you're just... we know you can get pregnant, right?
Yep.
Is that what we're saying?
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, words. Thank you.
But to your kind of like bigger existential question, how do you know when it's time to give up? I mean, I think it's just when you like really feel like I can't do this anymore. Like I can't put myself through this anymore.
Yeah.
Or I've run out of money, or...
when it's too much of an emotional and financial burden on yourself. Yeah.
That's what I would say.
That's what we both say.
I'd be curious to hear what other people have to say.
And I'd be curious to hear from Colleen again.
Okay. We got a text from Beth in Edmonton, who told me that she's disagreeing with my feelings about Gilmore Girls not aging well. And she didn't watch it until July 2019.
Nice.
So she also says, I'm also very much a socialist who believes in taking care of all the people and being an ally to everyone. I've been working in an industry for the past 6 or so years where equity, diversity, and inclusion are discussed almost daily. If my radar went off, it was just once or twice, and for momentary word use, the same word made me cringe at most once a season in the later years. Unfortunately, I can't remember that word slash phrase. In 153 episodes, I think that means it actually did age fairly well.
That was my instinct, because I know Amy Sherman-Palladino's work and her general vibe would be an inclusive vibe.
For context, that same summer, I tried to rewatch Bridget Jones's Diary, which I used to love. I turned it off within 3 minutes as the blatant sexual abuse between Hugh Grant's boss character and Renee Zellweger's Bridget was just too much for me to stomach. I had the same reaction. I rewatched Bridget Jones because when I was at BuzzFeed, because I think I interviewed someone who was involved.
Well, the sequel was coming out.
Yeah, when the sequel was coming out. So I had like rewatched the other Bridget Jones,
or
and I was like,
threequel.
And I was like, yikes, this is awful. It's just like stuff that I guess was, we thought was normal in the late 90s and aughts and in early aughts. And now we were like, no, that is definitely not okay. Anyway, that's my sidebar. That said, I think you should give Gilmore Girls a try. I feel like we are similar in our tastes, among other things, and it is very well written. I believe you would enjoy the banter. Matt, thanks for your warning on those Hutterite hot dogs. They were in my belly before I heard, and I regret nothing. Had another Costco dog for lunch just today. Beth from Edmonton, tiny house, bunch of animals, no kids, many hot dogs in 21. P.S. Thank you for mentioning that you went to Costco to get 800 pounds of cream cheese for Bo's pills. Our geriatric dog got a cancer diagnosis a month ago. Oh, I'm sorry. And switching to cream cheese means he always wants to eat his pills.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, don't waste your money on those pill pockets. They're not into them. They'll be into them for like a week, and then they're like,
and then they're onto you.
Yeah.
Whereas like, if you put it in cream cheese, they're done.
Somehow with cream cheese, I can leave the pills fully exposed.
They're like,
and Bo is like,
he doesn't care.
This is great.
He's like, I don't care.
He's like, just get me the cheese. Okay, this was the only reference to your butt.
Mm.
PPS, an offer. Instead of peeing out your butt, try the term shissing.
I like it. That's shit piss. That's good.
PPPS. Matt, when discussing your gastro situation, you referred to your water consumption in liters. When the heck did you move out of the U.S.? Don't you mean quarts or ounces? I don't think I've ever heard an American refer to a volume of liquid in liters. In Canada, we use a confusing blend of imperial and metric depending on context. Good times. Okay, I think I'm done.
Well, you know, that's generally true, but I will say somehow the drink industry has gone ahead and made it fairly common to list things in liters. You think of a 2-liter bottle of soda.
That's true.
You think of a 1-liter bottle. And you think of like a liter and a half of, you know, those big, big Fijis are a liter and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, that's the only thing measured in metric in the United States, as far as I can tell.
Besides like a 5K or 10K race.
That's true. All right. Those are two things in the United States that are metrically inclined.
All right. Thank you for that info on Gilmore
Although
Girls.
I will say this. Do you quarts or ounces, she said in that PPPS. It's often, like, I feel like whenever, like, they say try to get 64 ounces of water or something, and I do convert that to liters in my head.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's like 2 liters.
Correct.
All right. Hi, Matt and Dory. Another gem from Patreon back catalog. February 2019. Mm-hmm. Bonus episode 2. Oh, the second bonus episode from February 2019. I was like, we had done way more than 2 bonus episodes at that point. But I get what they're saying. Anyway, sorry. About 3 minutes in, a listener asked about where you would live if you could work from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Dory suggested Paris. Then, Dory, I can kind of do my job from anywhere in the world.
You can't, though.
Why not?
You've got to do podcasts with Kate.
I know. You can do podcasts remotely.
That won't last long.
This leads me to a question. At first, I thought, silly Matt, how naive we were. But then I thought, maybe he's right. Has the pandemic experience made Dory less inclined to want to podcast remotely or actually validated it as a good solution? Maybe you'll move to Paris after all. All the best, Liz in Chicago. No, it has validated it as a good solution.
But I was so against it just because of like the times I've had to crunch podcasts in remotely.
Mm-hmm.
It was never an enjoyable experience. But now, like, Andy and I are both vaccinated, could easily be doing podcasts together.
Same with me and Kate.
But it's so much easier to just open up my computer and sit down and go instead of getting in the car and driving somewhere or having him come, you know.
Yep.
It's just like, this works.
And because I can like see Kate on video,
right?
You still have the same sort of like interaction as you would in person, right? I think. So, yeah, I'm going to move to Paris.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Bye.
Toodles.
Okay. Here's another text. Mm-hmm. Morning, babies. In discussing the merits of non-Disney theme park food, please do not forget the amazing deliciousness at Knott's Berry Farm. Those local to Southern California should head down to Buena Park to experience all the yumminess about half the cost of a Disneyland ticket. Great shows for little ones also.
I have never been to Knott's Berry Farm.
Me neither.
What is their what is their jam? Is it boysenberries their thing?
I don't know.
See, that's how bad we are at this. But I know they have a fried chicken that is popular, and I hate fried chicken, so it's never been like a, I gotta get down there.
Mm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again.
And there's no Knott's Berry food blog on YouTube.
Not yet.
Are you starting that?
I'm sure there might be, actually.
Okay. Sorry, we're jumping around a little bit. These are some, this next voice memo is a reference to something that we talked about a while ago. But
birds, it says. Dory's description says birds.
Well, I'm actually going to play a different one first, and then we will get to birds.
Okay.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Melinda in Melbourne, Australia. I love the podcast, and Dory, I loved your latest book as a fellow late bloomer. I'm calling about a comment you made recently about not wanting to hover over Henry at the playground. I think it was maybe part of the Rye teachings. And I just wondered if you could explain a little more about hovering and why that's not ideal.
Well, we should have fucking hovered.
I've got a 10-month-old who
yesterday
can't quite walk but can get onto the couch and is just a climber extraordinaire. And I just feel like hovering is the only way I can keep her safe at the moment. And it's truly driving me crazy, trying to keep her from bonking her head all day long. And I don't want to hover. I do want her to learn kind of how to climb confidently and independently. But I also don't want to end up in emergency with a major head injury or anything like that. So
tooth missing.
Just wanted to know a little bit more of the thinking behind that. I am in 2,000 square feet or 198 square meters with one husband, one non-science baby. I haven't eaten any hot dogs, but I wondered if any Australian listeners have talked about the Bunnings sausage sizzle before. We don't really do hot dogs here so much, but at our kind of global hardware chain, Bunnings, in the non-COVID times, you can get a sausage sizzle, which is a barbecued sausage in a piece of white bread with ketchup and or onions, if you so choose, for $1. Goes to charity. It's something of an institution. Haven't had any of those this year due to COVID, but I look forward to having one.
Well, I get it. Those hot dogs, they make you, sorry, what are they called? Sausage. What Bunning? God. And then she just said it. My name, the name has gone out of my head.
Should I play it again?
No. It's all right. Let's talk about hovering, Dory.
Well, I think I want to make a distinction between what I view as like unnecessary hovering and hovering to keep someone safe. Like, for example, yesterday afternoon, after Henry had lost a tooth, he wanted to go to another playground again. He just bounces back.
The big playground.
The big playground. And so we went, and there's a lot of things to climb there. But I made sure to stay very close, and I said, I'm staying close to keep you safe. Because they were like a little more advanced than your standard climbing thing. Like, he could do them himself, but he was a little scared and they were up pretty high. And I just wanted to like make sure that he was okay. Now, am I going to like walk up to the slide with him and go down? You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to make sure that he stays safe. I mean, yeah, what Matt was saying, maybe we should have been hovering a little bit closer yesterday, but live and learn. Like, what are we going to do? You know what I mean?
Generally, though, I will say that it's a fair distance. You know, I'm still not convinced if I didn't try to save his little butt. I'm still not convinced that I don't know that he would have lost a tooth.
If you hadn't tried to save
him? If I hadn't tried to save him. Because I feel like I inadvertently, like, made him not be able to, like, fall all the way back away from it or something.
Oh. I think you're, like, really blaming yourself here.
I am, truly. Because of my hovering. I don't know. Generally, though, when we're not hovering, he doesn't injure himself. Think about it. Also, like, what that means is, like, sort of just... Usually, if you can't... The kid, like they always said in Rye, it's like, if they can't...
You want to put them in situations where they will stay safe.
Yes. And also, usually, if they can get up somewhere, they can get down some from it.
Not always, though. I would also say, if you are worried about her on the couch right now, like, maybe the couch is off limits for now. Like, maybe you get a baby gate and that's not somewhere that she has available to her right now.
Right.
You know?
I think that's fair.
So, that's what I have to say about that.
Boy. We're shook, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it was shooketh. I was shooketh.
Yep. He looks like a little hockey player.
He really does.
Oh my god, so funny. He's at the park right now. Holly took him. She just sent this picture of him just casually walking across the basketball court holding a soccer ball, obviously staring up at the streetlights.
And there's like a pickup game with grown men like 10 yards away from him.
Yeah.
Okay. We heard a couple weeks ago about someone who had some mysterious skin irritation.
Yes.
And we got a voice memo from someone.
Is this the person that we even like suggested it might be psychosomatic?
No, we didn't say it was psychosomatic.
Or we thought someone suggested, I don't remember. I'm trying to remember the email though.
Well, this is a response to it.
This is a voice memo?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, excellent friends. This is Julie from Toronto, and I'm calling in response to the signal that went out about the postpartum skin irritation issues. I've never been in a postpartum situation, but I do have skin irritation issues, so I wanted to comment on that. Dory suggested looking for an immunologist, and I definitely agree with that. If you can, try to look for one who is specifically knowledgeable about a condition called mast cell activation syndrome, or MCAS, or MCAS. I'm not sure how people say the acronym. Unfortunately, a lot of immunologists are not knowledgeable about this condition. It's not very well known, and it's not very well understood. I thankfully was able to find an immunologist in my area who did know about it and was able to diagnose me, and answered a lot of questions for me, because my skin issues were such a huge mystery, like getting hives from the shower and like getting a mosquito bite where I would have like an anaphylactic reaction where like I never previously had that before. And basically, mast cell syndromes, including this one, there are other types of mast cell activation disorders as well. It basically means your mast cells are not working properly in the body. I don't fully understand what mast cells are, but my very small amount of understanding is that they have to do with histamines in the body and the allergic responses and the immunological responses and all that. And so they can kind of wreak havoc on any systems in the body that relate to these, including things like digestion and all kinds of system-wide issues. And this definitely includes skin issues. So it may be worthwhile looking into that. And if you have a hard time finding an immunologist that specializes in this, or if you just have to wait a while before you can get an appointment, something you could try in the meantime is getting some over-the-counter antihistamines, you know, just some basic like Reactine or Claritin, because this is actually one of the standard recommendations for this condition. And also it's used as one of the diagnostic criteria that basically if you take an antihistamine every day consistently, you know, for at least a couple weeks and your symptoms decrease, then that is part of the diagnostic criteria. So that's just something you could try on your own. You know, just get whichever antihistamines you want and take the recommended dose, usually one or two tablets every day for at least a couple weeks. And yeah, see how you feel. And if you don't get improvement, then you probably don't have this condition. And if you do, you may or may not have it. I don't know. But at least it then gives you some information to take to a doctor down the road. And there are other things that you can take as well that can help with this condition, but I would just start with the antihistamines because that is pretty straightforward and you don't need a prescription. So that's my recommendation. Hope that helps.
Antihistamines.
Yes. And this person followed this up with a clarification where they say, in the voice memo, I'd recommended trying any antihistamine that you want. I'm now second guessing whether all antihistamines are actually appropriate since they can fall into different categories. But I definitely know that either cetirizine, Reactine, or loratadine, Claritin, would be appropriate. I personally take the latter because it has less drowsy effects. Reactine claims to be non-drowsy, but this is actually not totally true for everyone. PPS, I forgot to mention that if you just end up deciding to take antihistamines long term, some insurance companies will cover them if you get a prescription from your doctor rather than buying them over the counter.
I like the, on second thought, writing in. That's what it's like doing a podcast. Sometimes it's already out, though, when you have your second thought.
Totally.
Like, oh, I should have said this.
Totes, magotes.
Okay. All right, so magotes.
We have one. We actually have one last voicemail.
Oh, okay.
That I want to play.
Hey, y'all. Thomas in Colorado. I'm in 4 minutes into today's episode, and I had to pause and ask Matt, have you been, like, hanging out or talking with Walt over there on TESD? Because he just told this whole conspiracy theory to Q about how some people think birds aren't real, all birds are drones. And here you're tripping out and thinking that bird was, like, a robot or something on the golf course.
Oh, that's so true.
I don't know if it's just, like, you know, cross wires on the internet or what. I just thought it was really funny. I had to pause and ask. All right, later.
Look, I didn't think it was a robot bird. I saw a bird that I thought was a robot tiny golfer. So there's the subtle difference. Dory and I believe we talked about this bird thing a little while ago, too.
Yeah.
It is in the air.
Yeah.
But Walt Flanagan and I have not communicated about bird robots.
Because I think I saw a TikTok where someone was driving a car that had a whole birds aren't real like manifesto on the side of the car. Mm. And so I was like, what is this?
Yeah. I'm glad it's getting popularized.
Glad people are finally coming around.
Love it.
The earth is also flat.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything you think is wrong until it's right. And then only what you think is right. Okay. That's it, folks. I think just to go ahead and remind you all, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/excellentadventure. Get up to 2 bonus episodes every month. We'd like to thank our Patreon supporters who support us at the $5 level or above every month by just saying their names out loud. We speak their names. Here we go. Mike Zydek,
Mike, Kim, and Leo,
Molly,
Mariah Adamic,
Nancy Powell,
Nikki Bossert,
Paul Sharp,
Paula,
Penny from Massachusetts,
R. Ham,
Robert Olson,
Robin Kilgo,
Sabrina Stern,
Sadie Massa,
Sarah Dauberman, what? Sarah Prager,
Sarah Friedman,
Sarah Swift,
Sherry Olson,
SJV,
Steve Harcourt,
Tanya Lemos. Tanya Lemos.
Tanya Krishemin.
The Holterman Clan.
The Kembles.
Tracy Jury.
Whitney Hoffman.
Thank you all very, very much. If you want more of us, it's available. Go to Patreon. Check out Excellent Adventure there. If you don't want more of us, then the show's over. So good luck. Bye.
Bye.